In your prayers. Tonight, as we have spent quite a bit of time going through 2 Peter chapter 1, or at least the portion where the Apostle Peter was inspired to tell us to add to our faith. And he said, if these things be in you and abound, so if we're obedient to that exhortation and we add those things to our faith, then he said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's a practical lesson. That's an exhortation that if we follow on in those things and add those things, then we would have ministered to us an abundant entrance into his kingdom. So tonight I want to talk some about the kingdom. I want to study some passages that deal with this kingdom. We're taught to press into the kingdom, right? I think it's Luke that says Jesus said that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man, or the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Okay. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, both expressions are used. My understanding is they're interchangeable. As a matter of fact, there are companion texts in the different writings. One would use heaven. Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven. The other writers use kingdom of God. My understanding is that's the same thing. You know, in Old Testament Israel, they had a geographic boundary to their kingdom. And you could put your toe over the line and you were in the kingdom. Well, the New Testament's not that way, is it? As a matter of fact, the New Testament is not a feast or a festival or anything like that, because Paul tells the church at Rome, Romans 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not material things. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is all about. Now, since we don't have a geographical kingdom where we can cross over the line and be in the kingdom, and since we don't have that material presentation of it, what we have in the New Testament being a spiritual kingdom, then we have to enter spiritually. And so when you begin to think about that, you realize, okay, as you continue to read in the New Testament, especially in the four accounts of the gospel, you'll find much said about entering into the kingdom. You'll find some verses that speak about hindrances to entering in. You'll find a verse over in Matthew 23 where Jesus said that the scribes and Pharisees were hindering those who would enter in. So when you consider those kinds of things, we see then that what Jesus is speaking of in terms of entering into the kingdom in a spiritual sense, we have to be mindful of that, don't we? Because we can be in such a frame of mind that we're not thinking spiritually. We could leave things off and we could begin to spend too much time with the things of the world and not be in the kingdom in that spiritual sense. So there's so much more than we would even try to cover tonight, but I will try to cover some of the verses that speak of some of these things. But first of all, let's get on the right foundation. There's no way we could be in the kingdom without being born of the Spirit. Born again. Because the kingdom is for the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom are those that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Sometime here in time, he sends his Spirit to quicken us and bless us with those spiritual faculties and giving us eternal life so that we can see the kingdom. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 3? In verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so the foundation here is it's for God's people who are born of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we don't know anything about the kingdom. We can't perceive it. We can't see it. Later, Jesus would tell, also in John chapter 3, Jesus would tell Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't perceive it. Not aware of it. Okay? So, it's for the born again child of God. But does that mean that everyone who's born again is always in the kingdom? No, because it's a frame of mind. It's a condition of the heart. And I would venture to say, those teachings where, and we've talked about some of those in recent past, Ephesians and in Colossians, where Paul talks about putting off the old man and his deeds. Well, if we're acting like the old man of the flesh and his deeds, are we in the kingdom? No. But he says, but put on the new man, all right? Which is renewed in righteousness, true holiness. Okay, and in Colossians, it's a very similar passage, said a little differently, but very similar. The idea of putting off the old. The only way that we have the awareness that there is an old man is because he's given us a new man. We have his Spirit, which is not of us. We weren't born with that unless he caused us to be quickened again in our mother's womb. But putting off the old, we have to be aware of the fact that we are a sinner. That we have this old nature about us that we need to try to, in a sense, put it off. In other words, don't participate and try not to act like the old man, but follow after righteousness and be put on the new. Okay? Or the language of Romans chapter 12, where he talks about present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Oh, my heart's heavy sometimes when I think of some of God's people who are chasing after the things of this world and they're not following Christ. Be not conformed to this world. The only one who can obey that verse is ones who are born of the Spirit of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's not something God does for us. He works in us. Philippians 2 says he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, but he doesn't make us do it. When we follow what he works in us, and when we do and follow the leadership of the Spirit and do those things that he works in us, which are to will and to do of his good pleasure, then we show our love to him in responding to the leadership of his Spirit. And the more we do that, then we are pressing into the kingdom. Because we want to be, our mind wants to be like the mind of Christ. We want to think things that are good and holy and right and just and good and follow after righteousness. We do have this old nature that bothers us. Those thoughts enter our mind sometimes, but the sooner you chase them away and the sooner you think about the things of the Lord, then the sooner we get back on the right track. Okay? So pressing into the kingdom. All right? Also, Colossians 1, verse 13. Let's see. Let me turn to that because I'll get verse 12 as well. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us. Now, here's something God has done. Giving thanks unto the Father which God hath made us. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay? Being born again, he's made us meet. Okay? Then verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that's something God does. What did he do? Well, he takes us out from under the power of darkness and he puts us in the kingdom. All right? So, being born again, okay? As he said, has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right? But again, that's what God does, to press into that kingdom. And that's why Ephesians 2 would tell us that he hath created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. He doesn't do them for us. He doesn't make us. We're not robots. He doesn't make us, but he's created us in Christ Jesus unto. We are able, by his Spirit, by the new man, we are able to do good works. He works in us to do those things. And so as we follow on after righteousness, as we do his will, as we do those things pleasing in his sight, then we're entering in to the kingdom. Okay? Now, from John chapter 3 and Colossians 1, it speaks, again, the foundation that this is something that God does in order for us to be able to enter into the kingdom. But let's notice Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 20. Let me turn to it and read a little bit more here. Matthew 5, verse 20. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Early part of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, which speaks of true righteousness. Okay. So he says, verse 20, Matthew 5, verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, here's where we come in. Because he says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, he cannot be talking about the imputed righteousness of Christ because that's perfect. So he's got to be talking about our response to that, our participation in that. How we partake of what he works in us and how we respond to the working in us, how we respond to that. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We got to notice, what was this righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? I mean, the Lord came down on them pretty hard. Maybe they weren't all that righteous. Well, they had the appearance of righteousness. Matthew 23, Jesus said, all that they bid you observe, and do, but do not after their works. They were the do what I say and not do what I do crowd. They were the whited sepulchers that inside was full of dead men's bones. Yes, the Lord came down on them hard, but they put forth the appearance of such righteousness. Now, I'm satisfied there were those who were sincere, but Jesus quite often, and especially in Matthew 23, he called them scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. All right, so he's saying now, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. Let's see, what I want to notice. What I'm looking for, I know it's there somewhere, was where he talks about they hinder those that are trying to enter in. For some reason, I'm not seeing that one at just a moment. Here we go, verse 13. Isn't it amazing how sometimes things just, it's not there? Matthew 23:13. He says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." In other words, they were a hindrance to those who would have followed the Lord and who would have entered into the kingdom. Now, thankfully, what the Lord Jesus has done for us, no man can separate us from it. But as far as activity and as far as this efforts to press into the kingdom, they were a great stumbling block to those who could hear and follow the truth. All right? So Jesus said, except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And listen, don't think that there are no longer any scribes or Pharisees around. There are. And I guess every pastor has had to deal with somebody saying, well, some of those folks are a bunch of hypocrites. You know, hypocrites can be quite a stumbling block at times. Well, let's just recognize that. They're going to be around, okay? But we need to press into the kingdom. We need to try to do what we can to enter into the kingdom every day we live. God is just as good. His word is just as true. Our hope is just as sure, no matter what the circumstances are that we face. And so we can press into the kingdom. We can follow after righteousness. We can follow these teachings in the word of God to try to walk in a way that's pleasing unto him. And our righteousness in this sense, our righteousness, our right ways, our efforts to follow in those right paths can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, those that just give the outward appearance, but inwardly they're very different. And that's what we're talking about, is serving God from the heart in spirit and in truth. Serving God from the heart, okay? Not just giving an outward appearance, and not making a good show, but bless your hearts, serving God in sincerity and in truth, and entering in to the kingdom, following after righteousness and doing those things which are pleasing in his sight. So there's some things that Jesus said that identifies some works that show this kind of righteousness. All right? But first I want to notice Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. Again, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? But by now we've gotten to that section where Jesus is teaching true judgment. Okay? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not just the words. No, it's the heart. Okay. Listen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But that's not the end of the sentence. He goes on to tell us who it is that can enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See what makes the difference? It's not words. It's not an outward appearance. It's those who do the will of the Father. And if we're going to know the will of the Father, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God and say, not my will. How often does our will get in the way? How often are we doing our will instead of seeking to know what God's will is so that we can do that? That's our battle, isn't it? Instead of always chasing our will, saying, Lord, just like when Saul of Tarsus was struck down on the road to Damascus, the first thing he said was, who art thou, Lord? And the second thing he said was, what wilt thou have me to do? And that's what we ought to think about every day. Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, and I'm satisfied that most of the time it's not to go to some foreign nation and preach to them, but serve where we are. Serve where the Lord put us. I'm thankful that we have those who the Lord has put upon their heart to be, to make those evangelistic efforts. But we can do that in our backyard. We can do that across the street. We can do that in our town. I mean, just wherever the key is following the Spirit of the Lord, the leadership of what's his will. If it's to go somewhere else, that's fine. If it's God's will. If it's for us to minister to those right here, that's fine. It's God's will. But we have to be doing God's will in order to be entering into the kingdom. That's how he laid it out right there. It's not the words. It's not an appearance. But they that do the will of our Father. And you know what? You're the best one to be able to discern what that is for you. His will for you may not be, I'm not saying there'd be contradictions. I'm just simply saying what the Lord would have you to do might be different than what he would have me to do. They would both be following in the paths of righteousness, but he might have something for you to do wouldn't have for me to do. I hope I'm getting that point across. You know what I'm talking about. All right? But the key is seeking God's will above ours. Now, where have we heard that before? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, but I like to do my will. I like to do those things that I want to do. I like to be in control. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And when you're doing that, you're pressing into the kingdom. You're entering into the kingdom when we're doing the will of God. In whatever aspect of life that might be. It may be with our family. It might be with a neighbor. It might be with someone that we don't even know but has crossed our path. Whatever the case might be, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will for me in this life? Okay. So acting upon what he's working in us. You know, Philippians 2:12 says, not as you've obeyed in my as you've obeyed not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, as he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, he tells us to work it out. And we work it out by seeking his will and doing his will, whatever it is that he would have us to do. Okay. Now, I can't be specific because you have to take that and apply it to your own life. Okay. What has the Lord called you to do? What is your position? You know, had folks over the years, brethren, ask me, well, I just have a hard time understanding God's will for me. Okay. Well, my response to that was, well, just keep praying. And whatever he puts on your heart, try to follow that. And as you're following those impressions of the heart, I believe you'll begin to see what he would have us to do. Now, this past Sunday, we talked about, our subject was things that we should always do. So we should always be praying. We should always be thanking God. We should always be, there's a list of things that we talked about. So there's a lot of things that the Word of God tells us that we should always do. Well, if we'll give attendance to those things, guess what? We're drawing closer to Him. And the promise in God's Word, in James, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And the closer we're walking with the Lord, and the more we're enjoying fellowship with Him, and communing with Him in our prayers and our meditation and so forth, the clearer we'll be on what his will is for us to do. All right? That'll take some effort, won't it? Don't we love to talk about the grace of God more than these kind of things? We love to talk about what God's done for us, but we kind of lose interest sometimes in when we get to the things that God calls upon us to do. Well, you know, he hasn't called us to take whippings from soldiers that are tremendously strong. He hasn't called upon us to be nailed to a cross. But he did that for us. He hasn't called us to do so many great things that have happened for us. But you know what he calls us to do? love him, follow him, ask of him what things we stand in need of, thank him for the blessings that he's already given us. You see, those kinds of activities are what keeps us close to the Lord and keeps our heart warm and keeps our love fervent for him. Because the more we seek after the things of this world, the colder our heart gets. And so, drawing closer to him is pressing in to the kingdom, entering in, keeping our mind and our heart where it needs to be. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we have to battle this old flesh. We have to battle this world. We have to battle the devil. But it's not in the power of our might, is it? It's leaning and depending upon him. All right. So acting on those desires where he works in us both to will and to do, following him, working it out, loving God, honoring God, fearing God, hating evil. You know, all of these principles we find as you read the Word of God. And as we obey these things, we're more in the kingdom. Okay? All right. A couple more. Here's some more confirmation about humility that's needed to enter into the kingdom. Matthew 18, verse 3. Jesus said, "Verily I say to you, except ye be converted." Now, to me, that's a clue. Except ye be converted. To me, that's a clue that it's possible we're of another mind. It's possible that we're not thinking this way. This is something that the scripture exhorts us, commands us, if you will, to be this way. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of God. Except you be converted and become as little children. Now, he's not telling us to be childish, right? But think of a little child, a well-behaved child, meek, humble. Isn't that how we're supposed to be? This old flesh can cause us to be otherwise. If we're not careful. Even when we're trying to be careful, we can have help not to be meek and humble. I have to work on that a lot. Okay? I mean, you know, the first thing ever comes to mind, you know, confession's good for the soul. It's not good for the reputation, but it's good for the soul. You know, bad traffic is bad for your frame of mind. So, it's there. This old flesh is there, but we need to remember. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why Peter admonished us so much to be in remembrance of these things. Paul said that you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Okay? Lest you believed in vain. So, keeping these principles in mind, keeping our thoughts and our heart transformed by the renewing. That's why it's so important to continue to read the Word of God on a regular basis, because that's God's mind. That's how he thinks. We don't think that way sometimes, but he does. And he's given us his Word, and so it helps us to keep our mind renewed in the kind of thinking that we should have. So except you be converted and become as little children, meek and humble, you shall not enter the kingdom. Wow. I think as much of what I've said tonight are things that can keep us from entering the kingdom. As I've said about what constitutes entering. So this principle of that conflict between the flesh and the spirit is very real, isn't it? As a matter of fact, that's why we have to press into the kingdom, because this old flesh wants to go the other way. And I don't mean our footsteps, I mean our thoughts and our heart. Because our thoughts and our hearts, our footsteps are going to be made up of what our thoughts and our heart lead us to do. So except you be converted, there's a need. There's a need that some thoughts that we have, we need to be converted from those things and get our mind where it needs to be. Okay? So that also brings up the subject of repentance. Repentance is not a one and done thing. We need to repent of things every day. We need to beg the Lord to forgive us for wrongs that we've done, thoughts that we've had, and turn from it and go in the right way. It's just a regular exercise that we, the publican, when the Pharisee and the publican were praying, and the Pharisee was so proud of himself and boasting to God, but God wasn't looking on the outward appearance, was he? God wasn't looking on those activities that this Pharisee was bringing up to the Lord. God already knew all that. He was looking beyond that, and he was looking at the heart. That publican couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Do you reckon that's the only time that man ever said that? It's the only time it's ever recorded. But I suspect he said that on a regular basis. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said of that publican who couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, he went down to his house justified, because he was humble in the sight of God, because he confessed his sins, because he realized what he was, but he knew there was help in the Lord. That man was entering into the kingdom. That man went down to his house justified. God was pleased. All right? And he said so. All right? So, to close this out, there's so much more we could say. But in Acts chapter 14, Acts 14. It speaks of after a number of churches had been established and the brethren were going back around and confirming, visiting the brethren again and confirming them, okay, Paul and Barnabas, they departed to Derbe. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. Return to Lystra? Paul, you were stoned at Lystra. They drug him out of the city and left him for dead at this place. They returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. And here's what they were doing. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And everybody around you has that same conflict if they're born of the Spirit. And so it's an effort. But it's worth every bit of the effort to seek the Lord, to ask His will, to try to do what's pleasing in His sight, to get our mind and our heart focused in the early part of our day so that we're oriented for whatever we're going to face for the rest of the day. We don't know what we're going to face. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to us on the drive home. You know, a year or so ago, we had two flat tires. Or we damaged two tires on a big pothole one night. We had a good meeting over at Enterprise last time, and Sister Marita and Brother Byron on their drive home had a bad accident. The other car that was involved was flipped over. Thankfully, they weren't hurt. We don't know what's around the corner for us, but God does. And the more we can arm ourselves in the early part of our day, the more we can prepare our heart, the more we can get our mind where it needs to be, the better off we will be throughout the whole day. You know, it's kind of like, I like that illustration about a concert. Those that are playing their instruments, they tune them up before the concert so they can play their best. Doesn't do any good to tune the instrument after the event. So let's tune our instrument. Let's tune our hearts. Let's tune our mind. Let's tune our thoughts. Let's tune our affections early in the day so that we can enter into the kingdom. We can seek the Lord's will. We can try to do what's pleasing in His sight as we go about whatever we have to do each day. Entering into the kingdom, trying to remove those obstacles that keep us from entering in. I hope I've stirred your mind tonight. There's a lot more about the kingdom. We just touched the surface. But it's worth entering into the kingdom, walking with the Lord. Do you think Enoch was entering into the kingdom? You know, in principle, I'm talking about, he was walking with the Lord. He did the Lord's will. The Lord was pleased with that. As a matter of fact, the Lord was so pleased with that, he just took him on home. I think about that and I think, well, we're still here. That says something. May God help us to notice as we're reading the scriptures what it is that helps us enter into the kingdom. And let's also notice those things the scripture teaches us that hinder us from entering into the kingdom. Because the word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. May God bless you, is our prayer.
Amen.